to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 157 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Jimmy. Haven't been here in a couple weeks, so I'm happy to be here and talk with some good friends tonight. Tonight we have Charlotte. Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Jimmy. I'm so glad to be back. I've been away a bit too, so I've been missing our podcast team. Glad to be home.
Well, Ed has a theory, because I wasn't able to make it last week, and Ed's theory was that I've been dodging it. And I'm like, well, why would you think I'm dodging it? He goes, because you're going through post-Disney depression, and you just don't want to talk about it. And you know what? I don't know if that's 100% true, but I probably didn't fight as hard as I could have, because I'm kind of in that depression mode. But just booked a trip to go back in January. So now I'm completely out of the depression and complete planning mode, and I'll be happy to be down there with my good friend Lisa, who's also with us tonight. Lisa, what's happening?
How you doing, Jimmy? Hey, Charlotte.
Hey, Lisa. So glad to be on air with you tonight.
Glad to have Lisa back. I know Ed kind of introduced Lisa. Lisa's probably been a fan of the group and the show for, I guess, pretty close to the beginning, and oh, crap, just over the past few years, Lisa, we've met up at least three trips. Yeah, three trips. And in a short time that we've been doing this. So me and Kim have gotten really close with Lisa and Angela, so we're really looking forward to being down there for an adult trip in January, just for a few days, but we'll take it, so...
A few days at Walt Disney World is better than no days.
That's
so, absolutely.
Both of you. All right. So last week, you guys talked about, and me and Charlotte, neither one of us was on the show, but Ed was there, Lisa and Sam talked about our trip that we all were there in October. So since I didn't get to tell any of my stories, I kind of wanted to do that show again. We're going to put a little bit of different spin on it, and we're going to kind of do a round table. I'm thinking like the top three things by each of us. We'll each do like our number one thing, and then we'll go around number two and number three. And then not the bottom three, because I like to keep the show positive, but maybe something that we didn't get to do, or something that, you know what, we did, but maybe we'd like to, like a do-over, if that makes sense. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds great.
Perfect.
All right, so let's just jump right in. I'll throw this out there. I think the best part of the trip, and I'm going to start the roundtable in just a second, but just for me, the best part of the trip is meeting up with all you guys, right? So being a part of this great Disney community that we're in, and getting down there and being able to hang out with, you know, Charlotte. And this trip was a little crazy because everybody came in at different times because of the storm. But we all successfully got together at some point. So to me, that's the best part. So we'll leave that off of the roundtable, because I feel like everybody kind of feels the same way, that experiencing this together with friends that you know, that really pluses it. So we'll leave that off the table, because I feel like we're all in agreement there. So
absolutely.
So Charlotte, if you had to pick like top three, and you know, it doesn't have to be in order the best, second and third, but just one of your three, because I know sometimes they're all kind of convoluted and you could probably mix them up.
Right. I have to say one of my top three this time was trying some new restaurants that we had not eaten at before. The Jungle Skipper Cantina over at and I know I'm probably saying that wrong, but in the Magic Kingdom, the new restaurant over by Jungle Cruise was fantastic. That is, it's unique food. It was delicious. It was definitely things that my family enjoys. We like spice. We like, you know, a lot of flavor, and we got that there. We also ate at Sanaa for the first time. Fantastic. Amazing. I wish I had bread service right now because that was so good. Let's see. We had my oldest daughter got to try Garden Grill for the first time this trip, and I always enjoy that. I love the characters, but I always love going and doing something with someone who's never done it before. I love to see someone experience something for the first time. So she really enjoyed that. So that was probably some of my favorite things, was trying out new foods, new restaurants, places we had not been before. And that was really great. Loved that.
I'm so glad you got to. And just for the record, it is Jungle Navigation Company, LTD, Skipper Canteen.
Yeah, so I would
just
long.
For short, I would just call it Skipper Canteen. But I agree. That's a great restaurant. We ate there. I didn't eat there this past trip, but we ate there on our previous trip. And, you know, I saw what you had because you posted pictures of it, and I was like, she didn't even get anything good.
What'd you get, Charlotte?
What did I get? I don't even remember right this second.
No, it all looked good, but it was, you know, so I had like the pork belly.
Oh no, because I don't.
That's what I had.
So. Oh God, how good was that, Lisa?
It was amazing.
I'm pretty sure I had chicken. I don't do pork, so and one daughter had the seafood, and then the other daughter had the vegetable curry, and so we all had a little bit of bites of everything.
It was
so delicious, and the theming in there is amazing. It is so good, and you really need to walk through and check everything out if you eat there for the first time, because it is just so unique. It's really fun how they tied that all into Jungle Cruise. So
we got
cool
to sit in the little butterfly booth, which was like a round booth with all these butterflies like framed. It was really cool.
But that's really gorgeous.
Going back to that pork belly, I mean, it's like kissing a unicorn on the mouth sitting on a cloud.
So good.
I mean, it's like that
so
ridiculous,
good.
Okay? It was so delicious. It was unbelievable. I can't. Ugh.
And Angela had the chicken, and she said it was the best thing she had eaten.
Caitlin had the chicken, and the chicken came with this fried rice that was.
Yes.
It
yes.
was like this ridiculous. It was more like the hibachi fried rice than it was the, which you would say, like Chinese fried rice, which I think is so much better. And then Kim had the mac and cheese, which you're thinking, man, I'm going to this nice restaurant, I'm having mac and cheese. Well, it's like this macaroni with like this Egyptian-style meat with a bechamel sauce. So it's like, it's not really mac and cheese. I mean, I guess it is really mac and cheese, but it's really an up, you know. A high-level mac and cheese, so it was really good as well. Everything we had there was good, so. Lisa, maybe we need to do that in January.
I'm coming. Yeah.
That's one of the restaurants you get 20% off for AP, too.
I know, and I loved that. That was such a great surprise. Because I had renewed just the week before this trip, and it was, I mean, just within that day of my renewal, they were saying, okay, now you get all these extra things for this next year, plus your new month, in that 13th month. And every place we ate this past trip had that discount. And I was tickled. That was so fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. It's really good. All right, Lisa, one of your top three.
I experienced Animal Kingdom at night for the first time on this trip. And I, prior to this, was not a huge Animal Kingdom fan. But Animal Kingdom at dusk was amazing.
Yay!
It was so cool. And the projection show on the tree was great. The safari at dusk. So it's still, the sun's still going down. I could have reached out and touched a giraffe. I could have reached out and touched a zebra. I could have. Mm-hmm. There were just so many animals, and I've been on the first safari of the morning and did not see half as many animals on the first safari as I did on the Dusk Safari. It was so cool.
Completely agree. It is so fantastic. Completely agree with Lisa. Animal Kingdom at night is fantastic. And we all know that I love, love, love Animal Kingdom. But now I love it like tenfold. At nighttime, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go hang out at Animal Kingdom until it closes because it is now my favorite nighttime park.
Well, you know,
and it was something we did on a whim. We weren't even planning it. And about 3 or 4 days in,
we were there for a month.
Yeah, about three or four days in, okay. I was on, in the middle of the day, I was on Expedition Everest, and I looked around and I thought, how cool would this be at night? And that's it. I totally changed my plans later on in the week. I'm like, we've got to come here and close down this park.
Yeah.
And we did. I changed fast passes and changed the whole entire day's plan, and I came back and did it at night, and no regrets. If you are on the fence about Animal Kingdom or it's a so-so park, you've got to go check it out at night. It is a completely different experience because it was certainly number 4 on my park list, and it is not anymore. It was outstanding.
It's interesting.
I'm so happy to hear that.
It's interesting you say that because I feel this, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, because I didn't do it at night because our plans just got changed a little bit. But you know, I feel the same way. Now, Epcot obviously is a good nighttime park, but more for the socializing and walking around and food and drinks and stuff like that. That
True.
Doesn't really change. But I feel the same way, all the things you're saying, Lisa, I feel the same way about Magic Kingdom. Like, Big Thunder Mountain, completely different ride at night. Splash Mountain's completely different ride at night. So, I could definitely see it. Expedition Everest at night, especially if you get that front seat. And you get to see, because during the day you can kind of see Epcot and you can kind of see the Swan and Dolphin, but at night when all that's lit up, I bet it looks really fantastic from up there.
It looks amazing.
It does.
Yeah. All right, so for me, I'm going to have to, this may be on your list, and if it is, that's okay. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Soarin'.
Oh, yes.
This trip was the first trip. We got to do the new Soarin', and I think it's better than the old one. I really do.
I am in so much agreement with you, Jimmy. This was my first trip that I got to do the new Soarin' as well, and I am not going to lie, I cried. I literally wept because it was so incredibly beautiful. And now I have added this whole new thing to my bucket list to see in person every single place that the new Soarin' Around the World video goes to. That is now on my bucket list, and I will complete that.
I'm giving the spoiler alert now. If you haven't ridden it and you don't want to know anything about it, hit mute. Fast forward or hit mute for 30 seconds because, man, I tell you, I teared up at the end when you fly over Epcot.
Yes.
Yep, same
it's
here.
So ridiculous. It's like, oh, my God.
It was unlike you, Jimmy, and you and I have had this conversation, I saw the video beforehand. I'm one of those people. Something new comes out, I watch it on YouTube or I get that experience. And Angela doesn't. So when we went in, she didn't know anything about it, and we got off the ride, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we both had tears coming down our face, and that it was a moment, and you're right, it was really good. It was a great experience.
It's so different.
So different. The little surprises that kind of, like, make you jump a little, they're
tough,
so fantastic.
They're like some hard transitions.
Yes. Yes,
into the transition, they kind of like hit slap you in the face a little bit.
You're like, bam, there you are. Bam, there
though.
You are.
I liked it.
I loved it.
I thought that added something to it.
It really felt like an adventure. It felt like you really were on a worldwide adventure.
The video was so crisp and clean, and I know I've heard some complaints that if you're not sitting dead center, there's some distortions that happen, but both times I've ridden it, and you can kind of see it if you look off to the edges a little bit. But I think I rode it 3 times, and I think all 3 times we ended up pretty close to the middle. Once we were over to the left, but we were in the front row. And then I think the last time we rode it, though, we were right smack dab in the middle in the front row, and it was truly, truly incredible. So that would be my first. That'd be my number one for sure.
I know most of our nerds know this, but if you have never thought to ask for the front seat ride in Soarin' or one of the coasters, do it. It's
Charlotte, don't tell them.
Well, just don't do it on my trip. But they never have a problem giving the front seat ride. Just ask. So when we got, it was our turn for Soarin', we went up and we were about to be put into a group that would have made us be in the back to the side. And I said, just quick request. Can we wait for the next load and be in the front? And they never have a problem with that. We do that every time when we ride one of the coasters. It's never been a problem. So, I mean, just take that tip. Don't worry about asking. Cast members, they have to fill those front row seats. Yeah, they don't care. No.
You may have to wait, you know, a cycle.
Right.
Sometimes you don't, though. Sometimes if you're in the, you know, you're kind of in the front and you're, because there's three loading bays and you're up to the front loading bay and you see you're going to be in the back. You ask to be in the front, they'll just kick you down to the next loading bay. Mm-hmm. You still end up on the same, that same ride. That same sequence, but just in a different group of seats. We've done that too on, you know, Expedition Everest a lot. But I will say be a little bit careful with that, because although like something like Expedition Everest, the view is fantastic in the front row, but the ride is much better in the back row.
Right. I agree. It is way better in the back than it is in the front.
The issue is that like, one of the most thrilling things about Expedition Everest is the big drop. So, if you're in the front row, you're halfway down the drop before you start picking up speed, as opposed to the back row, you're just cresting over the hill and the coaster's getting moving.
Mm-hmm.
So the back gets whipped around a little more.
I find that if you're in the front in Everest, you miss some of the effects in the dark.
That's true.
Well, going back to your point earlier, Lisa, about the riding at night, that's one of the things I've brought up on a previous show, is that's got to be fantastic on Everest, because when you go through that last little thing where the Yeti is, your eyes don't have to adjust. You're not going from bright light to the darkness. So your eyes are already you already got that night vision going on. So when you get in that tunnel, you can really see him
clear as day. Clear as day. It's outstanding.
You called it a him. I thought it was Betty the Yeti.
Maybe. Maybe Betty the Yeti's broken.
Betty the Yeti that's broken. Exactly.
All right, Lisa.
I'll go right back to what Charlotte talked about, and that was new dining experiences on this trip. And yes, the Skipper Canteen was one of the dining experiences I had. Pork belly, amazing. just amazing. One of the other experiences that I had was, for the first time, I went to Yak and Yeti.
Mm.
And I have never been to Yak and Yeti.
Really?
Yes.
Yak and Yeti.
Did you enjoy?
I love Yak and
Yeti. It was so good.
It was so good.
What did you get?
I got, you're going to have to ask. I got this, I think it was sweet and sour chicken.
Okay, that's
but
good.
The garlic noodles on the side.
Mm.
And the garlic noodles were so good that I almost forgot about my meal. I just
That's good.
I almost ate a whole plate of garlic noodles on my own. And there were four of us eating, and I really thought I was going to stab somebody for some garlic noodles.
That's awesome.
It was so good. And what I like about it is that we were traveling with what I would consider a fairly picky eater, and they ordered a burger. So they do provide that option for those people in your party that may not be quite as adventurous as others.
The past couple times we've gone, now I've gotten the seafood curry there, which is really good, but Kim didn't like it, and we like to share dishes. So, but I get the surf and turf. It is so good. They use it's skirt steak with these tempura fried shrimp. Oh, my God, it's so delicious. And the dim sum, we've gotten dim sum there, and it was very good as well.
I love that the Yak and Yeti also has a counter service, so you could actually take some to go. And so there have been times that we have gotten Yak and Yeti at the end of our visit at Animal Kingdom, so we could take it with us, and that way we have some delicious food when we get back to our resort.
You know what's interesting about Yak and Yeti is it's not a Disney-owned restaurant.
Right.
It's Landry's. Same people that operate Rainforest Cafe and T-Rex.
Hmm.
So that's interesting because you wouldn't. But you know what? I mean, in my opinion, they do. Landry's apparently does a fantastic job with well-themed restaurants.
One of my favorite gift shops in all of Walt Disney World property is the Yak and Yeti gift shop that's right there next to where the to-go station is.
Okay.
Heading back towards Maharaja Jungle Trek. I love that little, it's a very, very tiny little gift shop, but it is a fantastic, unique gift shop. Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain I've ever seen it.
Some of my favorite souvenirs have come there. You're right there on top of it. Next time you got to go in.
All right, Charlotte.
Yeah.
You're up. So much pressure.
No.
Landry's also does Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory. They do a bunch of different restaurants. I think
Over at Universal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. There's one here, and the original one I think is here in the French Quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
I didn't realize they owned it, but yep.
I didn't realize they owned it either. I think one of my favorite things this trip was just seeing how much the people and the cast members had pulled together after the storm and how everyone was really just nice. It was just, there's been trips that, you know, people are grumpy, and I would expect a lot more people to be kind of grumpy because the Matthew kind of screwed up some people's travel plans. But for the most part, everybody seemed to be more working towards everyone having a good trip. I didn't have ugly cast member, you know, interactions, which I never have, but I have seen people treat cast members not very nice. And this time it seemed like everybody was treating everyone very nicely. And I like that kind of thing. It makes me very happy when everyone is getting along. Can we all just get along?
That's great. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that 100%. We saw a lot of that while we were there. For me, okay, so I'll go next. For me, another thing, well, and you know, I kind of threw meeting up with like friends and Disney nerds and community people off the table. But this was a trip I got to go with my parents. And my two of my niece and my nephew. And that's the first time I've been with my parents since I think 2007, which doesn't seem like all that long ago, but it's quite a while ago. We've done a lot of Disney trips between 2007 and now. So that was a big deal for us, that we just spent some time with my parents in the parks and get to share. My mom is a huge Disney nerd as well, so she gets it, but getting to share some of that with them and share my passion and you know, the things that they hear about the podcast and they hear about this and that, and being able to spend some time with them there and share some of that with them made it very enjoyable, even though my dad could be a grump.
All right. Very cool.
Charlotte, let's go. Let's switch it back around. One more.
My third favorite thing this time would probably be the Eat to the Beat concerts. During our nerd meetup night, we got to see the Plain White Tees, which I thought I only knew one song, but after they played, I realized that I knew way more, and so that was a lot of fun. But our last night, we got to see 38 Special, and as an 80s kid, that was so, I was so very happy for that. So we held on loosely, and
I've seen them there before not this one, but I've seen them for one of the Eat to Beat concerts. They were there.
They're really good. It was a really great show. So good. And It was just such a great time because everybody that was there knew the songs. They were singing together. It was just so much fun. I love free concerts, and I love the Eat the Beat concerts. And yeah, that one was definitely a top one for me.
38 specials, no Air Supply. So let's not.
Well, that's true.
Everybody
but,
knows
know.
I'm a huge Air Supply fan.
If Air Supply had been playing while I was there, I would have been there every night.
We did that. Kim gets upset, and Kim likes Air Supply, but like I want to see all three sets. And Kim's like, nah, it's a little too much Air Supply for me.
She's all out of love.
Right, yeah, really.
Like, yes, really.
All right. So your third top thing, which could be either the best or the all equal or just, you know.
I don't think it was the best, but it certainly was unique, a unique experience that I don't know whether or not I'll ever get the opportunity to do again, given the nature of the trip that we had this time around. And that was, we did Club Villain.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we, on Friday night, because it only ran on Friday and Saturday night, they announced it at the end of August, and the minute that they announced it, I said, well, we're going to forego that dining reservation, and we're going to go to Club Villain that night. It was expensive. It's $129 a person. Huh. There's no kid discount, so I was surprised to see kids there. But it is all you can eat and all you can drink. Booze included.
Oh. So did you drink enough to cover that?
There's no way you'd still be there in a coma. It's like $250 for two people. I mean,
the meal itself was really good. It was like a prime rib. It was a good meal.
But you're paying for the experience, right?
Yes. So there were performances by Dr. Facilier and his assistant and dancers. There was a DJ. But the coolest thing, there were four villains, and on this particular night, it was, and I don't know whether or not it's like this every night, but Cruella de Vil and the Queen of Hearts, the Evil Queen, and Maleficent. But when you walk in, you check in at the front, for those of you who don't know, this is at the Sunset Showcase.
Right behind Rock and Roller Coaster, correct?
Right behind Rock and Roller Coaster, yes. So you walk in behind that gate, and you check in, and they hand you it's a menu. It's very small. It's like the size of a large index card, and it opens up and it tells you what's on the menu for the evening, what every villain has their own specialty drink, and then there's obviously the open bar of beer and wine or whatever other mixed cocktail you want if you don't want to do the specialty drink. What is for dessert, because they had desserts available. And then on the back side of it was a reservation. So we did the 8:30 party. It was from 8:30 to 10 or 10:15 or thereabouts. And we got in at 8:30. And at 8:45, we had a reservation to go see the Queen of Hearts and the Evil Queen. Hmm. So you get right in line. There was no waiting. There's literally no more than two or three people in front of us, and we got to go up and spend as much time as we wanted, and there was a fast pass or a photo pass photographer there snapping all kinds of pictures, and that was a great experience. And then we'd sit down, you'd eat a little more and you can get up and dance if you wanted to. We got up and did the conga line. They passed out beads. It's a New Orleans, Dr. Facilier is the host, so it's a New Orleans-style party, if you will.
Nice.
And then at 10 o'clock, we had our second reservation, which was with Cruella de Vil and Maleficent. So you go back over, and you go to the other side of the room, and you get to engage and interact with those characters. So that, to really have your own personal time with each of these villains was really cool. The experience itself was awesome. You know, an hour and a half, almost 2 hours of eating and drinking and dancing and performances. They come out and do dance and they sing for you, and there's a light show, and to be able to have that experience with the characters, it was great. It's certainly, for the price, probably not something I'd do again.
Well,
but given the fact that it was a special occasion,
I was gonna say, you know, I mean, that's your honeymoon, so
exactly.
You're willing to splurge a little bit. It'd be tough for me and Kim to go with two kids. I mean, you're talking about $500.
Yeah, it's not going to happen for me either.
for us to go with four kids, it would never happen.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And with no child discount. And there were kids there.
That's amazing.
That were up. Amazing. Really, the dance floor was made up of little kids.
Because you could never. You're getting very, very little value. Well, I mean, experience wise, the value could be fantastic. I'm talking about, but just between the food and the drinks, all the things that you could say. Well, the food was really upscale, and you know, it was all the alcohol you wanted and all that stuff. But for the kids, like, they don't give, they can't drink the alcohol, and they don't care about the upscale food. So it's just strictly the character experience.
Right, and I can't think of a time where I've ever seen the Queen of Hearts available for a meet and greet in the park.
Well, or Cruella de Vil. Facilier either.
Yeah, or Facilier. Or yeah. And they were great, and they were interacting with everybody.
You don't really see Maleficent, really. You don't see any of them a whole lot.
Not enough.
No, you don't.
Certainly to have that type of, you're right. I mean, you put a price of, you know, even if you put a price of $80 on the meal, the extra is the experience.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there's not an annual pass discount for that?
No.
Mm.
Not yet, anyways. When they had released it in August, so.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wouldn't knock anybody for going to try it. I personally couldn't justify it, the cost. Now, look, I'm a little bit of a nut, okay? Because I have trouble justifying, like, spending an extra $300 to go from an all-star resort to to a moderate. I'm like, I think about it, just what else could I do with that $300? And I'd rather go do a tour or go do, I don't know, I'd rather buy everybody drinks.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd rather just go plan something and have a good time, and because that's more important to me than upgrading the hotel or just those. And maybe I shouldn't be that way, but I always end up just trying to justify. And you know, it's funny because when you're planning a trip, and obviously, Lisa, this one's different because it is your honeymoon, but just your regular trip, you could very easily get caught into little bumps and little, well, I'm going to do a little upgrade here, and then I'm going to do a little bit of this or a little bit of that, and next thing you know, you went from, you know, you upgrade yourself $1,500, and it's like, wow. If I'd have backed off a little bit, I could have just did another trip in, you know, 3-4 months.
Right. And yeah, I mean, I lived in a different world.
Yeah, and you got
those,
to.
You know, oh, God, 11, no. 12 days.
Absolutely. You should have. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, trip. So that's a little different than just your standard, hey, we're doing it, you know. We're just doing a trip. I mean, it'd be tough to justify going to that in January and spending as more money on, you know, the villains thing than you spent on your whole room.
Right. And it's certainly not something that I probably would look at. But again, given the time and the experience, it was incredibly cool. That was one of the things I was incredibly shocked about was the amount of kids that were there.
That is.
And people, when we left, There was a woman that was walking out in front of me with a friend of hers, and she had just said, "Oh yeah, well I'm coming again next week." So to a lot of people, that's a big deal. And I think just the character experience. And when I say the character experiences, this wasn't just a quick picture. I mean, I must have had a 10-minute conversation with Cruella de Vil about why I got married. It was very entertaining.
That's awesome.
So those little pieces, and Maleficent was hysterical, and we took a selfie with her, and that was a lot of fun, and the experience itself was really good. Well, is it something I'd ever do with my kids? No, because that's just way too much money.
Well, you know, some people got the money to do it, and that's fine. God bless them. But I was going to say also, you have a lot of people that pay for the Halloween party stuff and pay extra to go to that so they can go stand in line and meet some of these characters that you don't get to meet on a regular basis. So
yeah, I think about how long people wait in line to see Jack Skellington and Sally, or how long they wait in line to see the Seven Dwarfs.
Obviously, that's mm-hmm. where this party came from. Is Disney's like, look, if they're going to spend $60 or $70 to go to this Halloween party and wait in line to see them, how much will they spend if we give them food and booze and give them 10 minutes to talk to each one?
Right.
So, look, I'm all for it. I don't want to – I'm certainly not being I don't want to be Debbie Downer. It should be tough for me to justify it. But I see how somebody could, especially if somebody's really into the villains.
And I'll tell you – and Charlotte, you missed the Halloween party, and I didn't. I happened to be at the Halloween party the night you were watching 38 Special. So people have asked me, well, compare Club Villain to the Halloween party, and you can't. They're two completely different experiences.
Oh, sure.
I can't compare it. Because to me, Club Villain is really designed, it's designed in a way that the experience that I had is the same experience that everybody else had. And I think that the Halloween party, because my very first Halloween party, I feel like I didn't do it right at all. And since then, we have adjusted accordingly, and now feel like we do it much better now than we did. We just used it as extra time to go ride rides the first time we did it, and I was like, oh, we did this all wrong.
Yeah.
We did not slow down. We just were go, go, go. Let's see if we can get on the mine train and see if we can get on Space Mountain, and didn't catch the Hocus Pocus show and didn't catch – and we caught Hallowishes, and we caught just bits and pieces of the parade, which, you know, is now my favorite parade.
Oh, it's by far the best parade in all of Walt Disney.
Love it.
So I think you can't – Club Villain, I think, is the same experience for everybody, whereas the Halloween party is a different experience for every single person there, because it's all about how they do it.
Yeah, and the research in knowing what to do and what not to do. That's very true.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because every party that we've gone to has been different just because of how you approach things and you do them differently. And you might miss one show or be in line for characters and miss something. Or like the first few years we were doing the Halloween parties, my daughter didn't even really care that much about trick or treating and character meeting. She really wanted to ride rides because there were no lines.
Well, and some people now, use it for that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what we did the first trip, and then we went to the Christmas party. We did it the first trip with the kids, and we just said, oh, yeah, absolutely, let's jump in this line. Oh, yeah, let's ride this attraction. Oh, yeah, let's do this. And then we did the Christmas party, and it was just Angela and I. It was just the two of us. And we slowed down and took in all the shows and took in Main Street and took in the parade and then took in a dance party. We went and danced with the characters.
Yes.
And I turned and looked at Angela and said, we did this wrong.
Exactly.
We did the Halloween party very wrong.
So
my oldest daughter is 22, and she still says that the dance party that we did with the villains a few years back at the Halloween party, it was still one of her favorite things that she's ever done. She still talks about that dance party, and she's 22 years old. So, I mean, yeah, it's you got to do those things. As much as fun as the rides are without the lines, it's those things during the party that make it.
Oh, the experiences, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to turn the page here. And just give us one or two things that maybe you would have done differently or that you didn't get to do. So I'll start with Lisa. Lisa? And you were there for a month, so I doubt there's very many things that you didn't get to do.
There were things that I got on the plane, and I was very disappointed in myself for all the planning that we did, and significant planning. We didn't see one Eat the Beat concert. We were there for 10 nights.
Well, you were there when Plain White Tees was playing, weren't you, with us?
No. I came later.
Oh, got in later. Yes, okay. I remember.
I got there later.
That was the day they arrived.
Right, that's true.
Right.
That's true. So.
So I didn't catch one Eat the Beat concert.
Well, that's nice.
And. Yeah, it, that was just, it's poor planning on my, and we stayed at Boardwalk, And it was just poor planning. They were just, I should have adjusted just a little bit to take a look and see what was going on. Because that's just, it's one of those experiences that I wish I had slowed down and paid attention to, and I didn't.
I feel like at this point, when you're facing the American Adventure and you're looking at the fountain, the planter that is right there on the left, there should probably be at this point a little stake in the little garden area with my name on it.
I probably
spend more time sitting around that planter, having drinks with friends, listening to music, hanging out, than walking over to watch Illuminations. I probably spend more time on that planter than any other place other than sleeping in the bed in Walt Disney World.
When we've walked past it, we have walked past it when you're not there, and we point and giggle. Just like Jimmy's not there. It's almost like it's missing. It has no purpose.
No,
you need a plaque there.
I don't know how it's still standing there right now without Jimmy holding it up.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite place to congregate with friends.
So my second thing is a little different due to the storm and due to some adjusting to our travel plans. I had a tee time to play golf at Lake Buena Vista, and I had to cancel it. And that's those are reservations that you make months in advance. I think I made that reservation in July.
Wow.
And I was not able to do that. And I'm not certain either one of you are golfers, but to golf on one of those courses is really, it's an outstanding experience. As both a somebody that golfs and somebody that's a Disney nerd, because there are hidden Mickeys all over the course.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's very cool.
It is. It's great. There are great courses to play on, and I was incredibly disappointed that I didn't get a chance to play at least 9 holes while we were down there. So that's something I'll pick up, I'm certain, over the course of the
I feel like Monica sounds so petty now. Like, you have, like, some really, like, true grievances. Mine are dumb.
True sadness. It was just crazy because, like you said, I was here for a month, so.
I didn't get to drink out that fountain by the place, but, you know. Didn't get the popcorn bucket, you know.
I didn't get my second thing of pork belly.
I feel like it's, mine are so petty now. God. Charlotte, you go next. Maybe you can transition me into sounding less petty.
Well, I'm going to sound pretty petty too. I feel like a really petty Disney nerd right now because we only got 3 park days. The hurricane messed some stuff up, and then, you know, I have a college daughter, I have a high school daughter, and we could not stay. We couldn't extend our trip to make up for the couple of days that we lost. And so, in total, we only got 3 park days, and there's just only so much you can get done in 3 park days. It doesn't matter how good of a Disney nerd you are and know how to tour the parks. There's only so much you can get done, and it was crowded. Even though it maybe was not as crowded as it would have been during Columbus Day weekend, it was still crowded. And, I mean, that's a very crowded weekend as it is. And you're not going to – some of those line rides – I'm not somebody that waits more than 30 minutes for a run. I'm just not going to, not when there's so many other things for me to be doing.
Yep.
And so I really am disappointed that I didn't get to do Frozen in Epcot. I didn't get to do Frozen Ever After.
We didn't either. January.
I didn't even ride the People Mover this time, because when we were over there one day, it was almost an hour wait to get on the People Mover. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So move people, exactly. So I didn't – there's quite a few things that we didn't get to do. We didn't get to do the Halloween party this trip, and that was a big disappointment to all of us. We had originally been – scheduled to do the Halloween party when we arrived because of the storm and the park being closed, that didn't work that way. And so I missed it. It was the first year in quite some time that we have not done the Halloween party. And we're like, we won't miss it next year. We're going to make sure that we will not miss it next year. So I know that sounds a little petty, but we really did miss that. I do have to say, though, there was something on my top things that I needed to add, and that was the very last Main Street Electrical Parade. And if you are a fan of the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page, you got to see it live because I was recording that for you guys. But
if you didn't get to see it, you can scroll down. You can go to the page and scroll down and find. You can still find it. It's still there.
Absolutely. And it was just so wonderful. The environment was amazing. All of the people cheering as each float came through. There were a lot of cast members in the crowd watching. And
Disney Nerds.
Disney nerds.
Yes,
Disney
yes,
nerds.
There were.
Yes,
I wasn't
there were.
Too far away from you, Charlotte.
No, you were not too far down the street from me. So it was really neat to see that last showing. And I made sure that I got my shirt that said Glowing Away Soon, which has a Mickey Mouse on it, and it glows in the dark. It's such a cool shirt. So I had to add that in. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to ride the train.
Oh,
I do feel a little better because I did ride the train in Animal Kingdom, which we haven't done in years, and we went down to Chester, to whatever, Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Oh, awesome.
And we did get to do that, and I went and pet the goats, and I'm like a total freaking 7-year-old boy when it comes to stuff like that.
That's what you want to pet and see when you go nuts.
I want to go get the brush and brush the goats, and so... luckily enough, Kim likes that stuff too. So we did ride that train, so that maybe helped a little bit. But I love riding the train in Magic Kingdom, and I didn't get to do it this trip, but I'll make sure I have to do it in January. And the other thing was, I feel like it may be because we've done it, you know, quite a few times now. Me and Kim really didn't do a lot of Food and Wine stuff, and part of that I think is. We were kind of saving that for that Friday night meet, and that was part of our meetup, and then it just didn't happen. So, and then by the time Saturday got there, it was the last day, and we had the scavenger hunt and then other things. So we didn't do a lot of the we didn't eat a lot of the food and wine stuff, nor did we tour a lot of the booths. So,
my girls and I made that up for you.
Well, I appreciate it. So
you're welcome.
I feel like I did a ton of food and wine.
I think I think just so everybody's aware that's listening, because I've had people ask me already, Joe Spady, I'm looking at you. If we're gonna do it again next year, and I plan to if we can make it work. But I think this year we're gonna push it back to the first full week of November. Which is the week of Veterans Day, and it's like the 4th through the 11th or something like that.
That's also Wine and Dine Marathon weekend.
That's a perfect time to go then, especially for you runners, because you'll want to go for that anyway, right?
It's the next race that Angela wants to do.
So there you go.
Yeah, I'm supposed to do that next year anyway. So my girlfriends are there now, my soul sisters.
Hey,
Joni, run fast.
Run fast. I wouldn't say that at this point is a lock. But that's what I'm looking. That's the dates I'm looking at to try and get everybody to go down for next year for our meetups. And I think we got a better chance of getting some good weather where it's not so hot.
I also love the idea that if we plan it right, we could get the end of Mickey's Not So Scary and the beginning of Very Merry Christmas Party.
Well,
so that
we'll
would be a very nerdy thing for us to do.
I think we'll be in by November 4th would be the arrival date. Well, I think we'd be pretty much past Not So Scary.
November 4th? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's like
based on
fourth,
some of the pictures that we're seeing from Jen, it looks like we're deep into... Yeah,
it's Christmas.
Jen's posting pictures. The tree is up. The tree's up. So, man... This has been a lot of fun. It was really, really fun talking to both of you. Charlotte, I hope you can make it in January.
Me too.
Me and I will be there the 13th through the 18th. And Lisa, you'll be there. You and Angela will be there the 15th through the 18th. Is that correct?
That's right. The 15th through the 18th.
So if anybody listening to the show, any fans or friends of the show who will be there in January around those dates, that's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. That's the holiday weekend. Hit us up. Let us know. Either shoot us a message on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page in the Disney Nerds group. Shoot us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Instagram at the Disney Nerds podcast and Twitter at the Disney Nerds. Let us know if you're going to be there too. We'll try and if we can get. I'll talk to Lisa later, but maybe we can try and even plan like a mini meetup or something. Just maybe not a whole full blown. Hey, we're going to do this crazy scavenger hunt. It's going to be hours, but maybe just something that, hey, let's all meet up at this certain time and get a drink.
That sounds great. And don't forget that there is going to be another trip in February. A lot of us nerds are going to be down there for February as well. And I know you are, Jimmy, right? Yep. Yeah. Mardi Gras, Princess Marathon weekend.
February 25th through March 4th, which is the week of Mardi Gras, Saturday to Saturday.
And it'll be my birthday week, too.
When do you arrive?
The Wednesday before Princess Marathon. I have to check my calendar. Yeah, the 22nd. So
I arrived the 23rd.
Sweet! That'll be fantastic.
I'll be there a few days before me. Probably leaving before me, though.
No, I won't be leaving because my birthday is that week.
You're going to be there the whole week. That's awesome. That's great.
I'm going to stay.
I like it.
That's my long week. I like that.
Let's do it.
So it's fun. Yeah.
We'll try and plan
definitely.
Some type of meet.
We'll definitely
that week
plan a meet
too.
For
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we'll try and plan some meet. We'll get together and see if we can plan some type of mini meet for January.
Sounds perfect.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, and really appreciate the conversation. It's been nice to get back on here and talk to you guys, and looking forward to January now. So please, if you have any questions for the podcast and you'd like them answered on air, email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com or send us a message on the Facebook page, and we'll be happy to read your question on air. Make sure you include your name and where you're from so we can announce that too. So all right.
Close
so
us out, Jimmy.
For Jimmy, Charlotte, Lisa, Ed, Jennifer, and Sam at home, this is Jimmy. Kwaharini.
This is Charlotte. Just keep swimming.
And this is Lisa. See you real soon.
Bye bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.